On today's show, we cover a few lessons from Warren Buffett's investor playbook that you likely haven't heard before, and how you can use the wisdom and experience from Warren along your retirement planning journey, right here on Wealth Health Radio, right after this.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Wealth Health Radio. I'm consumer advocate Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here. Joe, an investment advisor, representative, independent, fiduciary. You'll find him at Murphy Wealth Management. He's been helping folks get to and through retirement for more than 20 years now. And again, we are glad that we can get together every week, Joe.
Yeah, you know what? It's fun, Steve. I always enjoy our conversations. And, you know, last week we talked about a topic that ended up generating a lot of comments and interest with the petrodollar. And I love talking about current events. Because look, all this stuff plays a role in your retirement, especially if you're exposed to risk with your investment portfolio. So understanding the things that can impact it can help you position yourself for success in the future or limit the exposure to risk. And I think that's a biggie. So I want to continue, Steve, talking about some current events. And we always have a good conversation. We'll try and keep it lighthearted so it's not all doomsday. Right. But buckle in. I know you got some good ones for me.
Well, sure. And well, again, before we get started, I know last week's show, there is a podcast out there of that show, and so again, I would encourage anybody to listen to it. I've encouraged a bunch of folks to listen to it, and I, even on my podcast, which I call Financial Pizza, I made it a two-part. So I did the first two segments last week. I'm going to do the second two segments this week of your show. So it really affected me. It was really profound, I thought.
Very, very cool, Steve. I love that. And it's all about education. You know, we get busy with our lives, you know, with the kids and school and work and all that stuff. It's hard to pay attention to all the things that can impact our money. And that in particular is something that a lot of people were unaware of. And I found out from all the comments that I got that most people didn't understand what's going on with our relationship with Saudi Arabia, how intertwined we are. So I think it was fun to kind of bring that out. We don't have all the answers. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we know for sure that it is going to have an impact. And, you know, speculating on what that could be is half the fun of this show. And I just hope that, you know, we all buckle in and see what happens at the end of 2024 here. Because it's going to be a wild ride.
So we're talking interest rates again, Joe. What are we thinking here? What's the word?
With interest rates, well, I know Fed Governor Bowman, you know, she's always got some really good comments, but we talk on the show a lot about how I don't feel the next 10 years is going to be like the previous 10 years. And when we're looking at our overall inflation rate, we look at history of inflation and how the Fed has responded. It seems to me, Steve, that we're probably in to hold this 5.25 to 5.5 federal funds rate for longer than anticipated. And I know the market was pricing in rate cuts this year. I think they priced in 6 at the beginning of the year, and we're sitting at 0 rate cuts heading into the end of the year here, into the final quarters here. So I think particularly when you look at interest rates and how they can control, and remember, it's one Fed measure that they use to try and combat inflation. They also do quantitative easings. But if you look at a recessionary period, Steve, a lot of people are under the impression that, well, hey, if we go into a recession, the government will slow spending, will slow everything down. That's not what happens. After the destruction of a recession and the market might drop, that's when the Fed starts cutting rates. That's when they start trying to get the economy booming again. So they start spending and spending and spending. And we have one big difference right now that we haven't had in previous recessionary periods, and that is a $34.5 trillion debt.
That's the wow factor, isn't it?
It really is. It's not only a wow factor. I mean, think about it this way. It costs a trillion dollars just to service that debt, Steve. That's larger than our defense budget. This is a big whammy out there. And I just know this Fed is holding tight because of previous actions that happened way back in history with previous Fed Chair Faulkner, when he cut rates too soon. And then we had uncontrolled inflation and the Fed lost one of their main weapons of cutting interest rates because they cut too soon. So I think Jerome Powell's up there sweating bullets. They're making comments. And now we're starting to hear the rumblings of, hey, be prepared for rate hikes. And I know that's something that we've talked about previously on the show, Steve, and I really believe it. I know Jamie Dimon is talking about the excessive spending in our country. We really think that hikes may be in the future if this thing doesn't turn around here.
Sure. And again, the whole Fed thing is such a... I don't know, it's kind of this big amalgam of things that, you know, come together and all of a sudden we're all affected by it.
Yeah, it's a lot of talking heads, unelected, unfireable. And, you know, they have a big responsibility. You know, monetary policy is no joke. You know, they have a lot of weapons that they can use, but they're really not sure into this environment. We've never been in this type of environment before with this type of massive debt, the changes in the geopolitical structure of our world. There's so many different variations. And we all saw what happened with the Fed when inflation started going up. What did they say, Steve? They said
it was transitory.
It was transitory. That will go down in history as one of the biggest oops ever. And I know both Janet Yellen and Powell, you know, they were promising us that this is just a temporary thing. Boy, were they wrong.
Guys,
they can't get this wrong, Steve. They have to get it right. And that's why we're seeing a lot more patience. And if we do see these inflation reports continue to increase, although gradually, remember, we're still at a 23% increase over the last couple of years of prices. You know, this isn't something that's going to come back down, guys. We're just slowing the increase right now. And their Fed gauge is at 2%. Are they going to get there? Are they going to be able to maintain it? Those are the questions that time will provide the answers.
And so we need answers too. You mentioned to me that the banks are gone through some stress tests, and I know the results aren't officially there yet. But what are you feeling about that, and why do you think they did it?
Oh yeah, well the bank stress test is very, very important. This basically tells us as consumers, investors, how the banking industry would survive under certain dramatically bad circumstances. Throughout history, we saw what happened in COVID, and I know the Fed and the FDIC is in charge of testing these banks to see their survivability during these types of changes in economics. What happened during COVID is the previous tests that the Fed and the FDIC were implementing with these banks were considered too easy. They did not really account for some of the craziness that may happen. Tomorrow, which is Wednesday, we're going to get the result of the actual stress test on some of these large banks. We did get some previous reports back. Here's the interesting, Steve. Citigroup, JP Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America, what these resolution, basically a resolution plans, like how they would unwind or close down their trades and shut down in the event of economic catastrophe. And unfortunately, Citigroup failed a test. Some of these banks are already failing, but the true stress test of these banks and their fiscal responsibility is going to be coming out this week. So by the time this show airs on Sunday, we'll know if these big banks have passed the stress test or if they're in jeopardy. If I'm holding any of these stocks right now, I may not want to be anticipating dividends or share buybacks in the future because we've seen this before. If you remember the crazy economic crisis from 2007 to 2010 and what happened with these banks, a lot of it boils down to what type of investments they were actually holding. Remember, banks make money, Steve, lending.
You know, that's true. Money, yeah.
Yep,
that's true.
Traditionally how they make. They're also required to keep a capital reserve by the Fed and the FDIC. And this capital reserve, a couple years ago, the government was saying, we're going to increase this to give you guys, you give the banks a little bit more financial cushions. Well, the banks sent their lobbyists to Washington, say it's going to break small businesses, it's going to break America, you can't raise the capital requirement. And what that is, guys, that's just that reserve of cash that they have to cushion in the event of financial uncertainty or even catastrophe. So the banks fighting the government saying, no, we can't do that. We need to keep it where it is. And why? Because of the bank's exposure to something called derivatives. And this is a risky, probably the best one that I can say that most people are going to know are options. So options are kind of derivative, but we also have futures, forwards, swaps. And what these banks do is they normally play as a middleman. They, you know, two parties that want to hedge risk, and that's what these contracts do. They hedge risk. If you think about a farmer, Steve, and if I'm Joe Farmer and I have my crop and I know that it future date I'm going to harvest, and I'm not really sure of the price, but I have an opportunity to lock in a future price that's acceptable to me. I know what my profit's going to be. I know the date I'm going to get my money. That's basically hedging my risk against price fluctuations, and that's where these derivatives and options come in. They hedge risk. So on the other side of that farmer, there's a party that says, I will assume that risk for a fee. I'll take the risk on, and regardless of the price fluctuation, even if the price drops to the floor, I'm still going to give you that contract price that we agreed on. That is the power of derivatives and options. That's what it does. It hedges risk. And banks traditionally play middleman on these contracts. However, they are very exposed to derivatives. Unfortunately, in 2007 to 2010, a lot of analysts feel that derivatives were the direct result of the financial crisis. And if you look in history, Steve, derivatives, maybe some of our listeners may want to look up Merrill Lynch in Orange County, California, and what derivatives did to Orange County, California. It was not a good situation. Of course, the court settlements, no one really knows if there was blame or anything, but derivatives are really risky. And understanding that these banks are now holding the same amount of derivatives that they were back in 2007, 2008, it's very alarming to some people. And the federal government saying, hey, we're gonna extend and raise your capital reserve requirement, the banks are saying, no, we can't do that because that may shut down or inhibit our ability to do these derivatives. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of complexities with it right now, but there's a lot of moving parts. And again, this is something that will impact our money. One way or the other, the banks, a lot of dollars are flowing through these banks right now. We cannot sustain another failure. And that's why these tests are so important that the Fed imposes, because it tests our major banks, the giant banks. We're talking Wall Street banks here, guys, like JP Morgan, Citi, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. These are the big boys. We want to make sure that they can sustain any type of economic environment or impact, and that's what the Fed's job is to do. And unfortunately, they're saying the test is too easy. Well, we're going to see very shortly what happens here, but I'm holding my breath, and if I'm holding, you know, one of the bank stocks right now, I'm probably not looking for Santa to drop some dividends and stock buybacks in my stocking this year.
So speaking of dividends, not that they offer them, but NVIDIA's certainly still riding the wave here. Well, that's certainly worthy of another discussion. We need to take a break, though, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And we are going to do our calls again this week. And most of our listeners know right here on Wealth Health Radio, you have an opportunity to schedule a 15-minute phone call with me, this fiduciary financial advisor in your ear. Whether you have one burning question or you're looking for that pre-retirement plan, maybe you want an investment review, your portfolio. Is it built for defense? Is it built for offense? Are you prepared to sustain possible future volatility? Your retirement income may depend on it, guys. Let's get it reviewed. That 15-minute phone call is for you, and I am listening and waiting by the phone. Steve, give our listeners that magic number, and we're going to get to work.
You got it, Joe. It's 800-930-5905. Call us right now while you're thinking of it. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. We do need to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back on Wealth Health Radio, we're going to cover a few lessons from Warren Buffett right after this.
Back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. Joe, of course, helping folks for more than 20 years getting through to and through retirement. You'll find him at mwmfinancial.tax along with the rest of the team, mwmfinancial.tax. Joe, we sort of got sidetracked in the first segment, but great stuff. I loved what we were talking about. I know we touched on the NVIDIA thing. That is an amazing story, and I didn't realize until we were talking about it that you're right. Some of these guys could just take a hike.
Yeah. And look, these are highly skilled engineers, you know,
yes,
at one of the top companies in the world. And they're saying, you know, I mean, think about it. If you were in that situation, Steve, what would you do?
Well, I certainly would consider it.
I definitely would as well. It's like, how much money do you really need? Well, maybe they have an appetite for spending or whatever. But I think me personally, I would be like, you know, I'm going to go maybe open up a restaurant or try something else. But,
sure,
you know, it's to each its own. But what a heck of a position to be in. And thanks, you know, to a company that is just absolutely on blast off. Although, Steve, this last week, short sellers made about $5 billion $1 trillion shorting NVIDIA stock. So
wow.
It goes both ways.
Sure does. Wow. Okay. Warren Buffett, we've got some great things about, well, everyone knows some great things about Warren Buffett. Certainly one of the most successful investors of all time. He's worth $133 billion. Holy cow.
I mean, insane.
He goes down, I mean, in terms of the, yeah, he will always be remembered. He will always be the icon that he is, the Oracle of Omaha, or, and so much more. But he has some great quotes. And we're going to dig into some that aren't really widely known. And I didn't know these, but they're very funny. For example, this first one, and we're going to tie it back into retirement planning. Calling someone who trades actively in the market an investor is like calling someone who repeatedly engages in one-night stands a romantic.
That's so Warren Buffett, too.
Really, truly.
You know, for our listeners that don't know Warren started trading, I think, at age 11, filed his first tax return at age 13. This guy ran several businesses. You know, he's a hustler. He was selling used golf balls. He was buffing cars. He just really liked to do money. I think his dad was a trader as well. So
sure.
He was exposed to it. But I mean, talk about a hustler. You know, my biggest experience with money, I was a caddy. I think I started at like age 10 or 11 carrying a golf bag for cash. I thought that was really cool. But my first real exposure to risk, Steve, was I was about, I think maybe 10 or 11 years old. My dad took my mom and I to Atlantic City to the racetrack. And this is a great, I don't know if I've ever told this story before.
No, I've not heard it.
So we go to the racetrack. We're having a nice lunch. Have you ever been to Atlantic City at the horse track? They do it up. It was really fun. And my dad, you know, he loved to bet the ponies. He would definitely do all his studying and research, very similar to how he approached stocks. And, you know, I'm watching him bet and, you know, I'm just eating this salad. And I do remember clearly the salad because it had more ranch than lettuce. So as a kid, I loved it. It was almost like eating ranch soup. But I'm watching him. He's like, do you want to bet? And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, if you bet on a horse, you get odds. And he explained it to me. And he said, you know, why don't you pick a horse for the next race? So I remember clearly I picked lucky number 5. Right. And so I'm all excited. And everyone before it gets really raucous in those places. So right before the gates are about to open, everyone's got their booklet in there and they're all, you know, waving, getting ready. The gates open and the horses there, they clump out. So you really don't have separation unless you got a real runner until they start really running. But I see this big group and I'm looking at everyone yelling and screaming around me and I'm looking for number 5 and I'm not seeing them. And I see them start separating. They're taking the first turn and I'm saying, maybe I can't see because they're on the far side of the track. There's no number 5. They go all the way around. They win. I see some people cheering, some people throwing their ticket on the floor, and I'm looking and I see my mom and dad whispering to each other. And I'm like, what is this all about? Like, what happened? And they said, Joey, your horse didn't run. So I was like, oh, no. And I didn't really think much about it. It wasn't my money I was spending, so I didn't care. Steve, the very first bet I made as a dude, my horse died in the gate.
Oh, no kidding.
Died. Yeah. So
oh,
I will never.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that was my exposure to risk and gambling. Unlike Warren Buffett, my horse died. I don't know what the odds of that are, but that's really what happened to me.
That's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was fun. Yep. That was my exposure. So, you know, you never know with risk, but that's why risk management is so important. So back to Warren Buffett,
yeah.
Who he is as a man and who he is as an investor. Look, when he's talking about, all right, the one night stands versus, you know, a long-term relationship, he's talking about the difference between speculators, day traders, and investors. You know, people that are in it for the long haul. They see value. They're not worried about the day-to-day. There's a big difference between a speculator and an investor. Warren is an investor. He is searching for value. He is not consumed with day-to-day price fluctuations. He knows that there's value, and that's why he's in that company, and he's willing to hold it through the ups and downs. A speculator is trying to make a profit, get in, get out, get the meat off the bone, move on to the next one. Warren Buffett has obviously shown throughout history that he knows how to do it better. So when he's talking about stuff like that, you want to listen. And for most of our retirees, Steve, I think being an investor is really where it's at. You know,
yes,
over time,
I completely agree.
Yeah, we know what's the market going to return. The S&P is over 8% annualized return, you know, year in, year out. So I think people that have had their money in the market, they've seen the downside, but they've also seen massive upside by having their money exposed over time. There's that ingredient, Steve, time. And the 401ks and our retirement plans, they make it easy to expose without having to really understand what stocks you're picking, because they have mutual funds and now they have target date funds. So getting your money exposed over the long term can make you your very own Warren Buffett of value investing.
I like it. Here's another quote to kind of take us off on a tear here. You only have to do a very few things right in your life, so long as you don't do too many things wrong.
I love that. Look, and that's discipline. That's making good, smart choices every single day. Because look, let's face it, Steve, I've failed, you failed. Sometimes I fail every day. But I get back on the horse because I'm constantly making the same decisions that I believe in, that I believe to be right. And over time, those decisions, the right ones, are going to pay huge. Think about it. Think about some of the, when your stock, when you have a stock, say you have stock A that's worth $50 and then stock B that's worth $50 and you bet on both of them. The biggest loss you're going to sustain, it only goes down to zero, right? That's the biggest loss unless you're using options. That's the biggest loss that you can sustain. But the upside is unlimited. And that's the big difference. And that's having that bull mentality, is saying, you know what, I'm in it for the long run. You only need one of those crazy runners like NVIDIA. You know, that's a great example. I mean, the return is, it's unbelievable. It really is. I think it's made probably more millionaires than any other stock combined. That is the one good choice that can pay off and just wipe out any of those bad decisions. But from Warren's perspective, Steve, he's talking about continually making the right choices based on disciplined approach.
Exactly. Well, you said it. I mean, discipline, you said both key words to me. Discipline over time. That's how you have a successful retirement.
That's it. Look, there's no magic to, if you're not a trader and you're not a day trader, there's really no magic. It's exposing your money to the market over time. It's continuing to put money in. It's saving some cash on the sidelines, or what we call dry powder. So if the market does correct, you have an opportunity to dump some more in. You know, these are all smart things that you can do as an investor, as a retiree, to make sure that you're staying exposed and don't panic over the short volatility. Now, we do have a lot of crazy stuff going on in our world right now. And I think, Steve, it's more in our face because of social media, because of the computers. It's constantly flashing. And what sells? What's going to get you to read an article? What's going to get you to click on the link? Something that scares you, right?
Sure.
So they've all adopted this policy. So all we have is fear-mongering left and right. You got to understand and take Warren's approach. Warren reads 500 pages a day. He is a voracious reader. He is constantly learning. He's constantly challenging himself to learn more and more and more. And over time, guys, that builds up. That's that discipline going forward and making sure that, you know, if you do have a failure, a mistake, it's not going to be the end of the world, because you continually do the right things over time.
I like this one, too. It refers to baseball. The stock market is a no-strike game. You don't have to swing at everything. You can wait for your pitch. Boy, isn't that the truth, huh?
What is that talking about, Steve? To me, that's talking about patience.
Yes, being patient and be willing to wait.
Be willing to wait. That's hard. We get impulsive. You don't want to miss out. What is that acronym? FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. It gets the best of us. And, you know, you look back, maybe you have an instance. I had a client tell me the other day, they're like, oh man, I just missed this trade. I can't believe I didn't pull the trigger. I look back and I had to address, you want to address that with your client, because what you don't want to do is have that miss carry over to a new trade and maybe create that FOMO and say, you know what, I'm getting in, without having that patience, without understanding that, you know what, you don't have to go after every single opportunity that you read about or is the latest and greatest. You want to take your time, pick your pitch. You can hit a home run, but you got to be patient with it. And you got to really understand one trade doesn't affect another. And don't let it mentally, because trading is 90% mental. It really is. It's psychological. I think psychology plays into it more than almost anything else, is understanding the timing. And Warren is perfect. They're not going to call strikes if you don't take a trade. You have the ability to pick your own pitches. And that really is, I just love him. He's so awesome.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up with one more quote. Someone's sitting in the shade today. because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
Wow, I think that kind of transcends finance to me.
Yeah, that's everything.
It really is. And you know what? It's understanding your roots. It's understanding the people that came before you. And, you know, a lot of us get to stand on shoulders of people that have really put in and toiled. And, you know, you have to be grateful for that. You have to understand the things that you've had, that you've achieved, are usually built off something else. And there's always an origin. And I think, to me, it's being grateful for the things that I have and the possibilities out there are all paved by other people and their greatness. So to me, it's just being appreciative and understanding, take care of what you have and nurturing something. Maybe it was a little twig when it started and it didn't provide a lot of shade, but someone gave it that nourishment, that water, that care, and now all of a sudden it's a canopy and it's taking care of a lot of people.
And that's the beauty of a retirement plan. You will reap rewards once you get that plan put together.
Oh, I mean, it goes hand in hand, Steve. And look, you know, I would rather have focused action to me beats brilliance 10 out of 10 times. And understanding the things, those little things that add up to big things, that's really what it boils down to. And all our listeners out there on AM 560, you have an opportunity to shift gears, to take a look at your overall situation. And that opportunity starts now. Next 10 callers into the show are going to get a phone call with me, complimentary, 15 minutes, where we're going to talk about your burning questions. Do you have just one burning question, or do you want to get a pre-retirement plan where we're looking at Social Security, where we're looking at tax efficiency, where we're looking at your holdings and making sure that they're effective for your goals and your time horizon? This is your opportunity to call, talk to a fiduciary financial advisor. Steve, give them that magic number and I'm going to get to work.
800-930-5905. It's really the goal of the show, helping you make the best decisions for you. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. Quick break, but we've got a lot more to talk about on Wealth Health Radio. Joe Murphy will be back right after this.
When we come back, we're going to finish up with Warren Buffett's quotes and how it can impact you and your retirement right after this.
Back on Wealth Health Radio. Joe Murphy's here. I'm Steve Siddall. We have been talking Warren Buffett quotes for the last segment and how they relate to retirement or just, you know, financial planning in general. And, you know, again, he does offer some great wisdom of, you know, and just how we, you know, how it works, how things work. And it's, you know, like that last one, someone's sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago. And that's something that we hear all the time. When's the best time to plant a tree? Today. When's the second best time? 20 years ago.
Yeah, I love that too. Yeah, you know what? Procrastination is a big thing with everybody, me included.
Sure,
you know, we all procrastinate in certain things. But what I found is sometimes you can jump in, especially if someone's pioneered the way before you. You know, a little bit of research to understand. We're not saying take a huge, huge risk right off the bat, but you can jump in and really get a feel for what's going on as opposed to thinking about it and convincing yourself six ways till Tuesday why it won't work instead of focusing on the reasons why it may. And that's the difference between action and procrastination is saying, you know what, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start. And like you just said, Steve, when is the best time? It's now. You know, getting a retirement plan, maybe you got a couple things going on that, you know what, I'm going to get to that after the summer, after vacations, and then something else comes up. But I can tell you this, understanding your whole situation, Steve, when it comes to retirement, especially right now in this crazy world that we're in, knowing where you are today is probably the most important, because it's really hard to build a plan and envision a successful retirement without identifying your situation right now as it is. We're seeing, Steve, in this environment, we're seeing a lot of debt. You know, I think the average credit card debt in this country is totaling like $1.1 trillion.
Whoa.
And that's crippling. And what people don't understand, and there's a Warren Buffett quote that I think we'll probably get into here that I'd like to go back to, that about exposing yourself and not understanding high interest debt and really when you do get exposed with it, what it can do. And tackling that debt, I've done this with a lot of new clients that have come in. We have attacked that debt. We have absolutely attacked it because I was able to show them how this debt over time would impact their future. And, you know, you look at some of the debts that people have, and just like our national debt, if they don't attack it, there's no way in heck you're going to pay that off. You'll be continuing paying interest for forever. So understanding where you are is really important. And don't be embarrassed by debt. Don't say, oh, you know what, I can't do it because I just want to get all this paid off. And then it's overwhelming. You need a plan to attack that. And that's really number one. So we have clients that come in here that, you know, are brave, they share everything. And then I'm able to put together a plan of attack to get them to that point where now we can start planning for retirement. But if you're sitting there and you're overwhelmed by debt, don't let it deter you. You know, pick up that phone, call, and just say, you know what? I do have assets, but I also have debt. Let's get that debt taken care of before it does get exposed.
800-930-5905 is your first step, folks. Give Joe a call. Warren Buffett quote, I like this one. I think this is what you were alluding to. After all, you only find out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And that's exactly it. You know, yeah. As interest rates continue to go up, if they do have hikes here, guys, that's what he's talking about. You know, when that tide goes out, you get to see who's swimming naked. It exposes the people that are over leveraged. And that's not just consumers with debt. That's also maybe, you know, the neighbor with the Rolex on his wrist and driving the Ferrari that's overexposed to risky assets. That's what Warren's talking about. Risk management, understanding what the worst case scenario. We were talking in segment one, Steve, about the bank stress test. Yes. You should have your own stress test. You should know if the market goes down 20% or interest rates go up another couple points, where are you going to be? Do you know that information? And if you don't, that's when it's time to pick up the phone and call. You want to know that. It's really hard to confront something if you're not even sure what could possibly happen. So understanding, and we can't predict the future, Steve. I don't have a crystal ball, but we can show certain stressors and say the market goes down 20%, interest rates go up 2 points, you're holding this, you're holding this. Like Warren said, that's the tide going out. Now you're exposed. We need to make sure that we head it off at the pass. And I don't know if we have 10 years. I don't know if we have 5 years. I don't know if it's tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. So again, as Steve said, and Steve, I think this was perfect. The best time is now.
Yep, absolutely. 800-930-5905. Don't let it slip by again. All right. No matter how great the talent or effort, some things just take time. You can't produce a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He is just awesome.
That's a visual I'm not sure I needed, but I like it.
No, that is tremendous. Good old Warren. Yeah. Exactly. Like shortcuts, guys. You know, the get rich quick. And, you know, taking shortcuts and looking is, you know, the only prize is profit. And when your only prize is profit, unless you're a Wall Street investment banker or, you know, you're a professional trader, you know, profit is a reward. Profit is a trophy. It's a job well done. But it can't be your only motivation. You can't just look to say, I need that money because I want my new Gucci pajamas. It doesn't work like that.
Sure.
So you have to do things the old-fashioned way. You know, hard work, learning. You want to do something, you become a student of it. You educate yourself. You find out everything there is to know about it. I love diving in. I don't know everything about everything. I know a little bit about finance, but the things that I do know are because I've read and I continue to read, and I read every single day. I try and enhance my ability to say, you know what, maybe this may happen in the future because we've seen this before. History is a wonderful thing to read because although it doesn't tell the future exactly, we can see how things were shaped, how they were formed, and then what the impact was and garner a little bit of insight and say, you know what, maybe we want to do this as opposed to this because this environment happened in the past. Reading is everything, guys. Don't take shortcuts. Make sure you become a student, whatever your profession, whatever it is. Don't try and take shortcuts. Don't take the easy way. Don't go on the, you know, the guy on TikTok or YouTube with laser beams shooting out his ears. It's not gonna work. The odds of that working, if it did, everyone would be doing it. And the guy would be, you know, they have a statue of him.
Yes.
Guys, the old-fashioned way always works. And it's hard work. Roll up your sleeves and make sure you have a good understanding of your situation now, where you want to be, and build a path to get there.
So this is a quote. It's a little bit long, but know what your investments look like now, would look like in the best of times and the worst of times, and have a comprehensive idea of the factors that would impact your investment in the best and worst case scenarios. understand the best way to build a bulletproof plan so that you're hedging against inflationary risks, market risks, and so on. All in all, insulate your nest egg to endure what the future might hold. Wow, that's profound.
And that is a very long, oh my gosh, it's hugely profound, but that is a very long quote to say get a retirement plan. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, call Joe. It should just
say that. Call Joe, get a retirement plan, because that's exactly what Warren Buffett is talking about, is understanding the threats that could derail your future. And a lot of people don't know. I always ask people, what do you think the biggest threat is in your future? And I get all sorts of fun, and we always have a good laugh and a conversation, but everyone's threats may be a little bit different. And you have to understand what your threats are and stress test your situation and your plan versus those threats and all the other ones. I mean, we're looking at new threats now that have emerged, Steve. You know, longevity risk is a huge threat right now. We're looking at very underwhelming retirement savings in this day and age. And we're living longer. Those two ingredients right there are a big risk, and you need to know how to minimize that risk. And that is something that we do here, is fight against longevity risk. Interest rate risk, another biggie, especially for all our 401k enthusiasts out there that maybe are using these target date funds. And, you know, you really have to understand target date funds to invest in them. And they're great. They make everything really easy. But what we've seen is the fixed income that may seem like that's your cushion. What we saw when interest rates went up to 5.5% from zero, that fixed income is interest rate sensitive, which means that you may have thought, you know, it's bonds, it's safe. They're not buying duration bonds where you're guaranteed the yield as long as you hold it. It's subjected to interest rate risk. And a lot of people don't know that. So as interest rates go up, the value of that mutual fund or fixed income portfolio in that target date fund or in that mutual fund is going to hit bottom. That's why we saw some of these mutual funds and some of these target date funds on the 60-40 split get absolutely blasted as interest rates gone up. And if interest rates do hike more, that fixed income is going to get even more crushed. So you have to know what you're in, how it works. These are basics that you should know. And if you're sitting there thinking, you know what, I have a target date fund and I have no idea how much fixed income I have, this is an opportunity to find out. Maybe you should be positioned in a different way. Maybe you should understand a little bit before you put your hard-earned money to something that you're not really sure how it works. Right. That is the benefit of using a fiduciary and having someone guide you through their experience and say, you know what, maybe a little better over here.
Right. Well, and again, when you talk about target date funds, they are confusing, and you don't have any say that all of us, I mean, if you're signed up in, at your workplace, you're just going to be in a target date fund. That's where they put your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Based on your age and when they think you're going to retire.
And Steve, this is not a slam on target date funds
by any means,
but it's understanding exactly what they are. And it's easy. It's the easy bake oven. Yeah, instead of having to pick all your own investments and all those mutual funds and you're seeing all those names and be like, what is Fidelity Contra Fund or what does this one do? The target date fund, you match up your retirement date with the ending year of the target date fund. And there is a mix of equities and fixed income based on the year that you're going to retire. If you're going to retire near term, you're going to have a larger portion in that fixed income. So maybe you have 65% in fixed income and your other 35% is in equities. Well, think about that for a second. You're rearing up to retire, and maybe this was back in 2021. You're getting ready, and then all of a sudden, your target date fund, the near term one that was supposed to be secure, all of a sudden nosedives because interest rates skyrocket, and your fixed income portfolio, which was supposed to be your hedge, gets absolutely crushed along with your equity side. These are the things that you need to know, guys, especially if you're in that near term retirement red zone. It's really important to understand how your future income account. And remember, a lot of people use this to supplement Social Security, pension, whatever other pay they have. This is an important account. And if you're going to rely on it in retirement, do not expose it to risk at the tail end. You're at the finish line. And maybe you were aware and maybe you weren't. But if interest rates do go up here, be careful with those target date funds. Understand. For younger people, Steve, I think it's even more a risk. Do a little research. You get into that 401k, you pick your 2060 target date fund, you got a long runway. Maybe you see there's a big difference between the T. Rowe Price target date fund and the Fidelity target date fund. What is the composition? I've seen 2060 target date funds that have 30% fixed income. Understand what the blend is. This is something that we want to educate our listeners out there on, so this is an important thing. You're contributing to your future self. Make sure you have it exposed in the best possible way for your situation, your time horizon, and understand where you are putting your hard-earned money.
800-930-5905, 800-930-5905. We do need to take another quick break, but we'll be back with another segment here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
The uncertain future of Social Security, increasing cost of living, and longer life expectancies are three common concerns folks have about their financial future. Coming up on Wealth Health Radio, a few solutions to calm your fears right after this.
On Wealth Health Radio, segment number four. That means this is our final segment together. We're going to really dig into some things that are, well, I think, you know, you talked about the uncertain future of Social Security. Yeah, that's an understatement. And I mean, there are a lot of things that are concerning to us. But as you just said, calm the fear. You are the voice of calm, the voice of reason. You are the one who can help us understand what's going on with our savings.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve, the way to look at it is, if we put it in golf terms, I'm the caddy.
Okay.
I'm the caddy. And that's really what my job is I understand the course. I know the rules. And what I do is I guide my clients through. You know, they still have to make the money. They still have to pull the triggers. You know, they're still making the shots, but I'm guiding. And that's really the best analogy that I can use. What is an investment advisor? What is a retirement plan? I am my client's caddy. I am their guide. And what I do is I educate on, if you're looking at a certain situation, what are the potential outcomes? What are the pros? What are the cons? I can't make that decision for my clients. Of course, I usually open up my big mouth and say, you know what, if it's me, this is what I'm doing. But the ultimate decision lies with my client. My clients are able to make those decisions, Steve, because they've been educated on the potential pros and cons of a decision. And I think that's a prudent way to approach something that's going to last a period of your life that could last 20, 30, even 40 years, where you're going to be relying on the assets that you have saved. You want to make sure that you are efficient. You're not paying too much in taxes. You've accounted for potential downside of Social Security, Medicare increases. These are all threats that could take you out, and make sure you're not sitting there at, you know, 93 going, well, I hit zero. I don't know what to do now. Not a day you want to go back and start applying for work. So you want to make sure you get this right, guys. And there's no retirement plan out there, as a disclosure, that is going to cover all contingencies. As we've seen in this world, Steve, it's usually the thing that you don't see coming that gets you. It's almost every single time. But what we can do is insulate our clients from the main prevalent threats that we know in the past have taken people out. I think that's really, really important. But if there's wars and things like that, we don't know how the market's going to react. We don't know. And that's why we want to take risk down. We want to eliminate all those big risks. So if something does go off the rails, our clients are relatively protected. I think that's so important. And I think so many people miss the boats because you get the dollar signs in your ear, and maybe you're over aggressive. And like Warren said, you do not want to be swimming out there and have everything exposed and the tide goes out and then you're completely exposed. That's not the way to do it. You don't want to fail at the finish line. You want to be successful, not only at the finish line, but for the rest of your life, for your kids' life. You can leave a benefit. These are all things that we can do, but it starts with a plan. It really does, Steve. It starts with getting everything down. And I see the ideas start forming with my clients when we start really going through this stuff. It's fun. And especially, like I said, when there is debt, I start seeing relief. We start attacking maybe some of the higher interest rate debt, or we start using another method where we're just getting a little bit of confidence for maybe a younger client that has unfortunately accumulated some debt, and just giving them the ability to see what it feels like to knock a small debt out. It does. It starts. Our minds are so powerful, Steve, and we learn through repetition. And if you can teach someone how to attack debt, how to plan, they will do it for themselves. It's teaching someone to fish as opposed to just giving it to them. Yes. I don't want to do everything for my clients, because they have to maintain that discipline in their own life to continue to get this to work. So I love to teach, and I think it really does. The light bulb goes on. I see it, and they almost get a fervor to say, you know what? I'm doing this. I understand. I'm getting it done this way. Sure. There's nothing that makes me happier, Steve, than that moment when I see that light bulb go on and I see that we have had an effect on their future outcome.
Wow. It just makes me smile just sitting here, Joe. You know, you mentioned something about running out of money, and obviously that's a big fear that a lot of us have. But someone said to me once, it's not the day you run out of money that's going to bug you. It's the day you know you're going to run out of money that bugs you.
And what do they say? Everything happens slowly, and then it all happens at once.
Yep.
You're watching it in slow motion, and you know that day is coming, but you're avoiding it. You're avoiding thinking about it. You don't want to talk because you can't even fathom it. This is not a time in your life that you want to risk. You just don't. And if you have saved well, it's even more important than ever to make sure that you're protected, to make sure that not all your accounts are exposed to risk, to make sure that you have accounts that can fund you no matter what happens for the rest of your life. Putting risk management measures in your retirement plan is probably one of the best things that you can do. Are you going to explode like someone that just swims naked? No, you know, they're not, they have no risk measurement. So they're gonna go up a little bit higher than people that impose these risk management tools. But the risk management tools are, if the worst case scenario happens, you have a hedge. And having a hedge during that time would be the greatest feeling on earth.
Oh,
there's not a better feeling to know that, you know what, you're protected. You can put a smile on your face. Your family's protected. That is why we do what we do, Steve, to show people there is a way to protect and still grow. And if you can combine those two things, you win.
I call it the GPI.
There
growth,
you go.
Growth Protection Income.
I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, so this has been we still got some time here. We're talking about things that we've learned, if you will, a Gallup poll saying that Americans' expectations for a comfortable retirement have been at their lowest level since 2012. Well, let's change that, Joe. Let's make it a better retirement for folks. And dealing with market fluctuations is one way to do that. And it's not to react. It's not to overreact.
No.
Be proactive, yes, but don't make it a knee-jerk reaction.
No, and I think that every account that you have, every investment account should have a purpose. It needs to have a defined purpose and understand. And when you implement the stress test on that account, you know that it goes down 20%, the rest of your retirement plan isn't derailed completely. It feels good. It allows you to sustain. You know, and a lot of my clients will say, you know what, I just don't look at it. You know, when the market's going down, I don't look at it. You know, we've been in a situation, guys, now for the past 13 and a half years, we really haven't had to worry about much. We've had a couple blips here and there, some crazy couple days back, you know, in the early 2020s. And other than that, it's been a steam ride up. We don't have that fresh memory of a vicious market correction or a vicious recession. You know, it would be fresh in our minds. And I think there would be some panic. But having a plan, Steve, understanding that if worst case scenario happens and there is a catastrophic loss, that you have a measure of protection for your future. So you're not like everyone else that didn't take that step, that did procrastinate, said, you know what, I'm going to get to it later. This is the opportunity to plan now. And I think that's important. It's critical because I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's happened. We could go, you know, up to 1 million in the Dow Jones, 40,000. We could go to 400,000. That could happen just as likely as we could go down to 20,000 or 15,000. Nobody really knows. But if you start adding two and two and you start looking at the impact of our world, that's where things start making a little bit more sense to me, is saying, you know what, I think I want to be a little bit more prudent planning right now. I think I want to be a little bit more protective because I don't think at this juncture right now, the potential upside is worth the potential downside. And you always have to weigh stuff as an investment advisor. Are those last minute gains really worth keeping everything that you have exposed to potential loss? It's a personal choice. And if you know the defined objective of that specific account, maybe the answer is yes. You know, I'm gonna throw more money in. I have 200,000 sitting in the bank. I can't wait for it to crash because I'm gonna dump more money in. You have a plan. That is the most important thing. But if you don't have a plan and you're relying on that account for your future income to supplement Social Security, and that's what you got, Social Security and your 401k, you need to be prudent here. You want to make sure that you're planning. And again, whichever direction that it goes, you're going to feel good knowing that you've taken the steps to insulate yourself from potential risk.
So here's a situation. Let's say that I have a plan that has been put together by somebody else. Can I call you and come in and just have you give me a stress test so I know for sure that I'm okay or if I'm not okay?
I just had that happen on Friday. I just had actually it was a neighbor that came in and brought a financial plan in from a bank for review. They said, you know what, before we sign this, we would just like to get a secondary review.
Well, that's
we're
very
not
smart.
Gonna Yeah, and they you know what they said? They said, we're not gonna go with you. We really like our advisor, but knowing who you are, we would really appreciate having a second set of eyes. And once I saw it, I was able to highlight some things that were of concern. And I showed that to him and I explained that to him, and they were able to go back. And I love doing that. You know, not every client is going to come with us, but I love to help. I love to make sure that people, especially a neighbor, you know, making sure that they're okay. So yes, of course we review those plans. I want to see those plans. I want to make sure, look, my job is to help strengthen this community. That is my job as a member of this community, is to make sure that we are all strong, that we are all looking out for each other. I think that's important. And I think that turning your back on that makes no sense. So of course, bring in those plans. You got old annuities that are, you know, 5-6 years old at the old rates. Bring those in. We'll take a look at those and maybe get you a better income or give you the ability to earn more money. Whatever it is, bring it in. Get a fiduciary to take a look at it and make sure before you sign on that dotted line, you know exactly what that plan entails and what that money movement is going to mean for you, especially with fees, Steve. Fees are the biggie. You really got to look at that, guys, because there's a lot of hidden fees in Wall Street. And maybe you think you're paying 50 basis points and you're really paying 2.5%. I've seen that before. So just make sure you understand the value you're getting for the fee that you are paying. What services and what am I going to get out of this for this fee? And then you can make a determination. Is it worth paying this guy $6,000 a year? Or am I better off in an S&PX index? You know, those are the things that you have to weigh, but you got to know. And you got to know, Steve. And if you're looking at your plan, you're not sure, call us. We'll help you break it down. We'll help you get it going in the right direction.
Sure. And Joe, on that note, let's remind everybody once again what happens when you come in.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we want to do here, guys, is we always offer this every single week, and we're back in the saddle and we're going to start doing the pre-retirement plans. But we want to talk first. I want to have that intro call. I want to understand what your concerns are, what your future looks like, and where we may be able to impact you in a positive manner. So having this ability to call a fiduciary, I think, is a benefit. And we appreciate our listeners here so much on AM 560. We do this every single week. Steve, the next 10 callers into the show, give them that magic number. They're going to call. They're going to get connected with me. We're going to schedule that appointment, that phone call, and we're going to find out what you need and how to get you going where you want to go. Steve, give them that number. We're going to get to work.
800-930-5905. That's really all it takes to get started. And again, as Joe points out, there's no cost, there's no obligation, and you can get a better handle on your own financial situation. As he said, find out what your investments are really costing you. Do you know about high fees or commissions that may be in there that you don't see? Tax implications. Ooh, that's an important conversation to have. And then generating income from your savings once you move into retirement. It's all about the income in retirement. 800-930-5905. Give Joe a call. 800-930-5905. Fun, fun show today, Joe. As always, one of my favorites of the week.
Steve, we always have a good conversation, and excited for next week. I'm really curious to see what happens with the bank stress test. That's going to happen Wednesday. So by the time the show airs, we'll know. So I'm going to talk about it next week because I'm really curious to see how these big banks fare.
Fantastic. Well, this is it. So again, we'll get together again next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Talk soon.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.